Boy, it is my heart to have a church that's real, and it's so good to see you today, and I'm glad we got a good place to go to church, and it's good to see you. In John's Gospel this morning, chapter number 3, I want to deal with one of the most amazing verses in the Bible today, John's Gospel chapter 3, and I'm going to read verse number 16. If you'd stand with us, we'll honor the reading of the Word of God found in John's Gospel chapter number 3. And verse 16, I would say out of all the texts that I could turn to today, this is the most amazing. Someone once said that it's probably the greatest lighthouse that has led more sinners to Christ than any verse in our Bible. Here the Bible said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Thank you for standing this morning. Father, I pray You'd take me these few minutes and use me, God, to be a blessing to Your people. Thank You for the songs that we've heard. Thank You for the Word of God that we have to share and, God, to preach this morning. Help us now. Let preaching be easy. God, I pray You'd use us now. In Christ's name, I ask You, amen and amen. John 3:16, the most amazing verse in the Bible. First of all, I want you to note the guidance of God's great love. There's a guidance of God's great love. You'll notice this. He said, "For God." And now, if he stopped right there, I mean, that's enough to preach more than this service has time to have today for God. You know, me and you ought to take a look at that this morning and think about, for God has done a lot for me and you. For God. You know, God is mentioned in the Bible. He's not mentioned a lot in our society. But let me tell you, this book is still about God and His Son and His people. And so here we find a verse about guidance for God. I want to say, first of all, there was an interest from above. Aren't you glad that God was interested in me and you? Hey, young people, God is interested in you. And you'll notice this, a lot of you young ladies, when that little boy, he's done through with you and done with you, let me tell you, God's still interested in you. Young man, when the weed's done with you and the liquor's done with you, let me tell you something. There's a God in heaven that's interested in you. Boy, when the schools give up on you and you couldn't do that curriculum, aren't you glad there's a God still interested in you? For God. Oh, what a statement this morning. Oh, we see there is guidance. I am so glad that God had an interest from above. Now, God is sitting on His throne and He's looking down this morning. I'm glad there's nothing that takes Him by surprise. And certainly there is interest from above. In Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 8, I want to say this interest from above. He said these words, "But God commendeth His love toward us." Watch this, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Somebody said you got to be saved for God to love you. That ain't right. God loves sinners. While we were yet sinners, God loved us. Isn't that amazing? God loves something like me. Now I look at some of you and I can realize why God would love some of y'all. But I look around, and this may be me, I don't know why God would love me. I mean, somebody that would do the things that I used to do, somebody that would say the things I used to say and the places I used to go, that's comforting to me to let me know that God loved me. God commendeth His love toward us and while we were yet sinners. Now, sinner, you die and go to hell without the Lord Jesus. Let me tell you, you're going to go with God still loving you. Matter of fact, I can't do anything anymore to make God love me any more than what He loves me this morning. If God loved me when I was lost, I know He loves me now I'm saved. I want to say something I sure do like. A preacher friend called me this week, and he sure did help me. He said, you know, we tell sinners, come to Jesus, He loves you. And then when they come and get saved, we say, now God's mad at you. Ain't that about how we good Baptists are? Honey, let me tell you, God loved you before you ever knew anything about Him. And I'm glad that He loves old sinners. You say, preacher, does God love the sinner? Yes, but He don't like the sin. God is holy and He can do no wrong. And there's the guidance of this scripture for God. There was an interest from above. Aren't you glad there's somebody interested in you? You know, I've noticed this when a man holds great position and great prestige, and I'm not against positions. I've had one and I have one today. But I've noticed this, as long as you're befriending people and everything is going their way, they're real positive about you and they've got a concern and they've got an interest in you. But let me tell you something, isn't that amazing about God? Isn't that amazing? Would somebody help me preach down Bowden on a Sunday morning? For God so loved the world, He had an interest in me and you when me and you knew nothing about Him. Boy, isn't that some kind of God to have an interest in me? Young people, God's interested in you. All of these abortions that America is sanctioning, some, I think, mid-50 million babies. Now, ain't it amazing how God loved every one of them? Isn't it amazing how God could have used them lives? You say, well, preacher, my life is too far gone. Oh, no, nothing's too hard for the Lord. Matter of fact, God loves to get misfits. You take Simon Peter, a man that just cut and cussed a whole lot of his day. God used him to stand up and preach, and thousands would say, what about Abraham, the friend of God? He lied about his wife. Amen. Now, what about the psalmist David committed adultery with Bathsheba? And adultery is still wrong. I'm not sanctioning wrong living this morning. I'm just telling you this, honey. If you think that you got to do good enough for God to love you, you've missed the whole gospel. God loves sinners today. He don't love your sin, but He loves the sin. So when you die and go to hell without the Lord, you always remember a preacher told you, you went that way in spite of God loving you. God loved me. You know, it's something the way mothers love babies. But it is amazing that God loved us in spite of us. For God, there's a guidance of God's love. We see, first of all, on this guidance that there was interest from above. But number two, there was an interaction from above. In Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 23, there was a little meeting took place about me and you. In Acts 2 and 23, He said this, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by Him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you've taken Him by wicked hands, have crucified and slain. There was interaction from above. I'm glad that God the Son and God the Holy Ghost had a meeting yonder in glory world. And before there ever was a man, you know what Jesus said? He said, Father, it's your plan and I'll go. Aren't you glad that, as Brother Adam so wonderfully taught a Bible message this morning, aren't you glad, honey, that the Roman soldiers did not take the life of Christ, but He laid it down. And He laid it down that you may live and that I may live. You see, this guidance this guidance of God's great love. There was an interest from above. There was interaction from above. Let me tell you something. Somebody said this. Said the reason that God saved us is because Jesus had the plan to come and die for us. Therefore, God had to fulfill the will of His Son to come and die. No, no, honey, let me tell you. God had a plan to send His Son for me and you. And the Son got in line with the Father's plan. And that would do me and you good this morning to get in line with His plan. Preacher, are we robots? Oh no, we have a will. We can reject Him. We can deny Him. But there's nothing better than minding Him. And I bless Him for it. There's the guidance of God's great love for God. We see there was an interest from above. There was no doubt interaction from above. But then there was an interruption from above. Boy, in 1 Timothy chapter number 1, and I thank the Lord that this church is interested in the Great Commission and getting the gospel out. 1 Timothy 1 and verse number 8, we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Nothing's wrong with the law. The problem is not with the law, it's with us. We can't live the law. A lot of these law dog preachers, they tickle me. They try to get you saved and hold you to the law. Jesus never held us to the law. He sent His Son to redeem us from the law. Amen. I mean, I do pretty good on one, two, or three of them. But I don't do good on the other seven. You can go and shake your little Baptist head this morning, too. You may have your little halo turned real high this morning. But I bet you if I went to meddling around in your file cabinet, I might be able to find a little something to bring accusations against you too. That's why I'd be careful not to point my finger at nobody. I don't think I'd be pointing my finger at somebody. God went to stirring in your little file cabinet. You see, there was interruption from above. He said this, knowing this, the law's not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and the disobedient. You see, when I look at the law, I see how wicked I am and how I need to be saved. Then he says this. He said, it's for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy, profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers and liars, perjured persons, if there be any other thing that's contrary to sound doctrine. Here it is, verse 11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God which was committed to my trust. What are you saying? An interruption from above. I sure am glad that God's still calling preachers to preach the gospel. I sure am glad that God interrupted in my life and told me about the dearest friend that I could have. When I was minding my own business, aren't you glad for God interrupted you? A lot of you over here at this honky-tonk was burnt down, the old Legion Hall. Some of you I pastor used to go in that ungodly and dark place. You know why it's so dark? Because there's so much wickedness there. But you know something about that? Aren't you glad God interrupted in your life with the good news of the gospel? I'm glad He had an old preacher get up and run around and sweat and holler and shout and say there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. I'm glad He give us the glorious gospel to interrupt us the way we was a-doing and acting. Thank God for the gospel. I'm glad our church is very gospel-minded. Then number two, not only there's the guidance of God's great love for God, but there's the goodness of God's great love. He says that He so loved the world. The goodness of God's great love. I want to say in 1 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 3, there is the nature of His goodness. 1 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse 3, the nature of God's good. You've heard God is good, God is great. That's so true. And can I tell you about this nature of His goodness? Look what He said in 1 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse 3. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. Watch this, and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now here it is. For there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Now there's one way to heaven. All roads don't lead to heaven, friend. There's one way to heaven, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. People say, well, you need to quieten down. Don't be so dogmatic. No, I'm going to stand and give an account for preaching the truth of the gospel. Some of you may have never heard the truth of the gospel. Let me tell you, there's one way to heaven. It's not doing good, getting there and seeing if your good outweighs your bad. It's not being baptized, and you ought to be baptized once you're saved. It's not joining a church, as good of a church as this is in the country. Honey, it is grace, a faith through the Lord Jesus Christ. There is one way. Look at the nature of His goodness. He's not willing that any would die without Him. Look what He says, verse 6, who gave Himself a ransom for all. A lot of people think He just died for a selective few. No, He died for all. He died for, if that would ever dawn on you, somebody died for me. Not only after you got saved, it'd make you love Him, it'd make you want to do better. Boy, the guidance of His great love, but the goodness, the nature of His goodness. God's nature is good. Then the need of His goodness. I'm going to tell you something. We need God to be good to us. Look in Romans 2 and verse number 4. This right here. It ought to help you this morning. He said, therefore, in verse 1, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. That's so true, isn't it? We're sure that the judgment of God is according to the truth against them that commit such things. Thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things as do us the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long suffering? You ought to take your little ink pen and you ought to underline in your Bible right now, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Now, God was good to lead you in that direction. I sure am glad not only of His nature of goodness, but now I find the need of His goodness. It took God and His goodness to lead me to salvation. If you're saved today, you ought to thank Him that He led you that way. Why? Because God's good. There's no bad in Him. And so not only the nature of His goodness, but the need of His goodness. But then James 1 and 17. Notice here the notice of His goodness. The notice of His goodness. James 1 and verse number 17. James was a hard preacher. I don't know if any of y'all could ever sit under a pastor like that. Somebody that'd be so vocal. James 1 and 17. He said this, watch here, underline this in your Bible. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from your employer. No, it's from above. And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Young people, watch this now. The devil will never show you what you got.
He'll just show you what you don't got. But whatever you do have today, I tell you what you ought to do. You ought to say, thank you, because it come from above. I held this new baby, and no doubt, the little thing in my hand, I got to thinking, what a precious gift of life. Did you know that that was not luck, Brother Ryan, Miss Meredith? That was not luck that that baby was sent to your life. That was by the predetermined counsel of a sovereign God that sent you a gift from above. Hey, that car you got in and rode to church. Some of you look so sad that you're here today. Look like you had to saddle up a mule and a buggy. You ought to raise your little hand and thank Him for every gift that He's give you. Some of y'all pull out of Brother Dennis's car lot and you say, boy, Brother Dennis, give me a good deal. Brother Dennis didn't have nothing to do with it. God give you a good deal. Matter of fact, He give you a lot better deal than what we give Him. His goodness from above. God is good. God is still right. It's still right to pray to Him. It's still right to praise Him. It's still right to preach for Him. It's just still right because God is still good. Let me tell you something. One man's not going to turn this country, but God could turn it if we turn to God. The goodness of God's grace. So loved the world. But then notice, winding down the guidance of God's great love and the goodness of His great love. But what about the giving of His great love? I don't know if you caught this in the text or not, but God so loved the world that He gave His own. You know, it's easy to give somebody something if you've got another. I mean, it's no sweat off my back. You know, I won't say this and then I'll move on to the next point. The giving of God's great love. He gave His only. Now, I'm going to be honest with you a minute. I've got two children. And I love you. And I'd fight for you. I mean, I wish I was that sanctified, but I'm not. I'd fight for you. It's okay. You can shake your head. That's okay. Some of us still fight. That's right. Some of you ladies saying, boy, you're right there, preacher. But I don't know I could give our young'un for you. Just don't know I could do that. Matter of fact, it's pretty easy to look at my wallet and somebody say, preacher, can I borrow 20? I say, yeah, because I look over there laying beside of it and I've got a 10 or a 20 left. It's easier to give that. But He gave all He had. You say, well, let me ask you something, preacher. You said God loves me so much. Will God like that really put me in hell? The Bible said He would. But this is what the Bible says. The Bible says you'll send your own self there. You know, I get to thinking about these young'uns and how things are. Do you think for one second that if I gave you my child and you rejected him, where's my grandbaby? Is he asleep this morning? Where is Parker? Is he in the nursery? Somebody help me find, where is he? Is he in the nursery? Just, praise God, he's in the nursery. Well, Charlie, you'll do. Come here, Charlie. Let's say this morning. Let's bring this message down to where we live. Brother Mike, you and Miss Franz done all you know to do and the best you could do.
And if this mom and daddy give this child to me to get better, and he died for me and I denied him, how would that make them feel? You say, well, preacher, why would God do that to me? Because he has no choice. He's done everything he knows to do. I want to say this about the giving of God's love, and then I move. And I want you to always remember this. It's so true. The giving of God's love. Did you know that a person can give and not love? But you cannot love and not give. You can give and not love. But there's no way that you can love and not give. Somebody said, preacher, when your children are married and they move, do you get rid of them? No. No, no, you don't. Don't get rid of them. It's still, daddy, what about this? And thank God it is. Wouldn't take nothing else for it. You see, you can give and not love, but you cannot love and not give. He loved us. So He gave His only begotten Son. You see, there's the guidance of God's great love and the goodness and the giving. But what about the grace of God's love? Whosoever. I'm glad I'm in that verse. You know, a lot of times we forget about where we were. We have a tendency when somebody comes in our church and we want to look at them like, you know what? What are they doing here? I got a better question than that. What are you doing here? I mean, what am I doing here? 1 Corinthians 6, verse number 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, or extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you're washed. But you're sanctified. I sure am glad, he said, whosoever. Miss Sherry, if you come this morning, does that mean, can I ask you something right there? Is that an age limit? You say, Brother Ken, how old am I when I'm supposed to get saved? When God deals with you, that's when you're to get saved. That could be 4 or 5. I don't know when it is. I know this. God loves you and He sent His Son to die for you. I know that. There's the grace of God's love. For whosoever, let me tell you something, He don't care what you've done. And He don't care how long you've been doing. He can save you this morning. What grace? I wished I had 20 minutes to really dig in right there about who God will accept. Anybody. Whosoever, it's a whosoever gospel. And in John 6, Pool of Bethesda, the boy jumped in. They was cured of whatsoever disease they had. Not only will He save whosoever, but a whatsoever you are, He'll save you. This kills me about people. They walk around this life just like there's no world to come. You know, one of the things that scares me the most is to think I'm going to have a wreck and my insurance isn't paid. I mean, trooper pulls you over, you say, I've had a wreck,
something gets gone, is my insurance up to date? But isn't it amazing how some of you will walk through this life and you don't have the main insurance policy on you? What would you give for your soul? If my car was here or my soul here and they said, okay, dispose of one and burn it up, which one do you think I'd take? I can tell you what I'd say. I'd say, burn the car if I don't need it. Save my soul. Well, God will save your soul. It amazes me. You young people, you listen to this old-fashioned preacher. There is a hell that's still real. If you don't get saved, you'll lift your eyes there. Mom and Daddy, you walking around in this world just like you got your head in a drum. Wake up! You're going to meet God one day. And you're going to give an account of what you've done. You say, well, I hadn't done much. Well, you're going to give an account of what you hadn't done. And I don't want nothing on my account. Whosoever. Does it say only women? Only men? Whosoever. God don't have measuring tapes. God don't have skin color. Such were some of you. You know what Paul's experiencing? There's some drunkards come to church. There's some harlots come to church. And let me tell you, Liberty Baptist Church, as pretty as this place is, we better never forget where we used to be. And without the grace of God, where we would be. Such were some of you. I'm in that boat. I'm ashamed of some things I've done and places I've been, but I sure am glad God took me anyhow. And the way He took me, He'll take you. By the blood of His Son. And that's the only way He does business with sinners. Is by the blood of His Son. Do you know Him? Last Sunday night, there were seven people saved by the grace of God. Some left troubled. You don't have to leave trouble this morning. The grace of God's love. But the guarantee of God's love. Everlasting. You know, I'll say something right now. I'll give an invitation. And I'm not saying this to be comical. I just want to make a statement. I believe Sunday night I went through the worst pain. I didn't know they made pain like that. I didn't know that. But you die and go to hell, you'll never get out of there. Thank God there was a doctor that could give me a shot to bring that at ease finally. You die and go to hell without the Lord Jesus. You go into a place where you'll never get out and it'll never be no better. You say, preacher, you mean you tell my kids that? Somebody better be telling them that. But I want to say something. Then I open this altar. You ask this lady right here. You asked her what God's done for our house. You asked her, has there been hard times? You know what she'll say, Brother Lee? Sure has. But we got somebody with us now. You got somebody down your house? He loves you. This is what's amazed me. We say, well, come and be saved. People don't know how to be saved. So how do I get saved, Pastor? I want to know, how do I go to heaven? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus? Do you believe what I've preached to you is true? God sent His only begotten Son to die on a cross for you. He loved you. He shed His blood for you. Well, you've got to receive it for you. You've got to move by faith yourself. You can be married to the best person in the world. You can have the best mom and daddy in the world. Don't matter. You've got to be saved individually. You've got to come to Christ by faith. As many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become the sons of God. All over the house. My sister plays this morning. I want to open this up. Do you want to be saved? You come to... Maybe you just want to be here this morning and say, God, You've been good to me. He said, every perfect gift is from above. I want to come thank You for it. Whatever you need, my sister plays. This altar's a... You come. You need help this morning. You bring it to Christ. Come, whatever you need today.